Recording is on.
Good morning, everyone. This is the December 7th meeting of the Credentials Community Group. Today, we are going to get an update from Carrie Lemoy and the new VCEDU co-chairs. IP note, anyone can contribute in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. It is free to create a W-3 account, and you will need to sign up for the contributor license agreement. Call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call are archived at the CCG Minutes GitHub IO site. We use IRC to queue speakers during the call as well as to take minutes. So you can use the Jitsi chat for this or if you're in the IRC. All attendees should type present plus to get your name on the attendee list. Actually, you don't need to do that because Jitsi does that already for you. You can probably see that in the chat window of Jitsi. And if you don't see the chat window of Jitsi, there is a little kind of message box to the left bottom corner of your Jitsi window. If you click that, it will open the Jitsi chat slider. If you want to add yourself to the queue, type Q plus with an optional reminder. I'll show you that. Q plus, optional reminder. If you want to remove yourself from the queue, you can type Q minus. If you, you might see the chairs or other folks using other commands, and you don't need to worry about those. Please be brief with your comments so the rest of the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always Q plus again. This meeting is held by voice, not IRC. Off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record. Okay, scribe selection. Do we have anyone who is willing to volunteer for scribe?
I would. This is Charles Lehner.
Charles, great. Thank you. Let me update. Let me update this, our scribe list. I think I might be the only one who's actually trying to keep this updated. Okay. Introduction and reintroductions. Would anyone like to introduce themselves? Just add yourself to the queue, queue plusing, if you're new to this call. CBG.
Hi, hello everyone. My name is Christian Gribno. I use my initials, CBG, and I've been making some minor contributions to the DID web method. So I've joined the meeting to contribute in a more full capacity. I haven't actually signed the contributor agreement, but I'm perfectly willing to.
Great, thanks, Christian. You're welcome to be on this call pre-signing that agreement, but if you make any substantive contributions, you'll need to be able to do that. Okay, so Kalia, I see you can't hear anything in the Jitsi. Can someone help troubleshoot her?
Sorry, Heather, what's going on?
I just saw a comment from Kalia on the Jitsi chat saying she couldn't hear anything in Jitsi.
Yeah, there's a new Chrome build that's making its way out that's broken. And it's only broken on Mac and only some versions of Mac. Maybe. So use Firefox. Use Safari or some other browser.
Well, I mean, she says she can't hear anything, so
Yeah.
Someone typed that into Teller.
Oh, right. Yep.
Okay. I just can't run the meeting and type to her at the same time. Cool. Okay. Sorry about that. Anyone else for introductions? Tony, over to you.
Hi, I'm Tony Shepherd, an educational technologist from the UK. I'm here not necessarily to contribute, but just to listen and to get a better understanding of where things are going with identity, so that I can look at that as an impact on privacy work that's going on in the UK and in other places.
Great. Thank you, Tony. Anyone else want to introduce themselves, or anyone want to jump in to do a reintroduction? Okay, well, let's move on. Announcements and reminders. Does anyone have any announcements or reminders? I don't think we have any community ones happening right now. So if you have an announcement or a reminder, just add yourself to the queue. Oh, I see Kalia has been added to the queue. Kalia, can you hear us? Are you able to speak?
I'm on Safari. So can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
I don't know if it was already shared, but Kim Cameron passed away last week. So I just thought that was worth naming and sharing. Many people are writing posts about him and his legacy. I'm trying to write one this week. Or today, but we'll see. That's all.
Thanks, Kalia. Very sad news. Thanks for sharing that with the community. Kim has really contributed a lot. Contributed a lot is an understatement. I think he's inspired many of us. Mike, you're up next.
Yeah, thanks, Heather. Just wanted to note, one, thanks again for kind of lining up schedule through the end of the year, et cetera, from the chair perspective. And then also, just because I know there's a few folks who aren't normally on these calls, next week we are going to have an interesting one. I will be posting agenda to the mailing list per normal, you know, later today or tomorrow, but we will be bringing in one of the advisory board members from W3C proper to talk a little bit about what's going on, what, you know, as far as directorless, you know, formal objection handling and things like that, as well as some of the future challenges and role, frankly, of community groups in W3C going forward and how we can help contribute. So I think it's a little bit of a meta conversation, but I think it's important. And as W3C goes through some changes in terms of how they handle you know, tests around like the advisory committee, et cetera, I think that'll have some important lessons learned and I think can help provide some guidance for us going forward as a community group on how to have a very positive impact on moving technology forward. So I just wanted to get that out so folks on the call had a heads up.
Yes, thanks, Mike. Yes, I guess that's a good announcement I should have thought about. Next week is our last call of the year, and echoing Mike's sentiments, it should be really interesting conversation, especially as we kind of move into the new year, maybe do some strategic planning for CCG, what we want to kind of accomplish for 2022. So, yeah, thank you, Mike, for bringing those really interesting folks on board. Let's see. Okay. So I guess I have also next item is, update on action items. And I think I just want to check in on a few of these. We don't have any direct issues right now. Let I'll put a link to all the CCG action items. So as there's a couple things I want to talk about, I guess. First, this first one, the verifiable driver's license vocabulary. Manny, you proposed that last week. We had a session on that. Do you want us to get this on the agenda to discuss for next week, or can we wait till the new year?
We can wait until the new year.
Okay, awesome. Great. So let's kick off the new year with discussing that. The other thing that is of interest in the community issues list is I've just recently moved over a lot of the infrastructure requests from the infrastructure task force back into the main CCG community list. Manny, you said you were going to be doing improvements over the holidays. So I will, in that thread 217, I will go ahead and aggregate and connect to all the other ones I just moved back in. So that you can go through and see which of those it makes sense to that you can knock out over the holidays. I mean, first of all, you should definitely take time off, but I also know you. But then also if you want to touch base, maybe the chairs can, kind of go through and we can revisit the ones that are appropriate or maybe that we can close at this point. Okay. So I see Manu, you're on the queue. Over
to you. A plus one to that. Thank you very much for moving them over and cross-linking them. That's going to help a lot. The only thing that I'm planning on doing late December is updating Jitsi and getting it working for the new version, this beta Chrome build that's wreaking a bit of havoc on, Jitsi. My hope is to try and get that resolved end of December so that when we all come back in January, we don't have some of these Chrome issues. And then if there's any extra time, it would be very helpful to just get kind of a prioritized list from the chairs. If you have, any longstanding things you want to see fixed.
That sounds great. And I didn't mean to, misspeak by saying you were going to address all of those items. I think the chair should be able to, look at the kind of collected items that we've had and prioritize them. I think also a bunch of them are kind of like nice to have or documentation. And, I think some of these things we could look at in the new year. Just get real with ourselves. Are we actually going to ever do these? And if we're not, then close the items. I just prefer practicality and realness over a to-do list, a to-do item that we're never actually going to get to. That's just very demotivating in the long term. I think that's it with all of our, kind of boilerplate stuff. Let me just check the queue really. Oops. Oh, Nick, you're on the queue.
Oh, hi, Heather. Thanks. It's just a quick one to say that on that item about cooperative credentials, we've made some good progress with that. We've got a few more co-ops joining, so we will be kicking off in a new year. So if we can set up that repo, we can add some more folks, other cooperatives to it, and we can make some progress towards holding regular meetings. Just wanted to say that. We've had some good discussions with the apex body of cooperatives or platform cooperatives, platform.coop, and we have been busy, but it's been sort of stakeholder engagement. But we will get to talk about some technical stuff, some really interesting stuff about secure sharing of mailing lists between co-ops, which I'd be really interested in hearing some thoughts about from other members. But we'll table that in the group discussions. Thank you.
Great, Nick. Thank you. I'm glad you piped up because as I was going through the issues today, I saw that one and I saw that we did get through the 7 days and I did mark it as an active work item. And once I put some work, get some time to kind of clean up and do some CCG chair work, I will go ahead and create that repo for you and you should get notification of that. So I'm going to try to do that like this week or hopefully within the next couple of days.
Thanks very much.
So, okay, great, okay. Can someone tell me what's going on with the reminder on the queue? Is that like something new?
Someone just typed Q plus reminder, and so it queued a person named reminder.
Got it, okay. That
was very and then funny. I act them to get them off the queue, so it was just a phantom.
Great. Thanks, Brent. I was like, what is going on? This reminder to remind something. Great. Okay. Thanks, guys. Okay. So I think we can move on to the main event now. And with that, I would like to hand it over to the very capable Carrie Lemoy. Over to you, Carrie.
Thanks, Heather. Can you hear me okay? Wait, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm
okay, good. Sorry.
I can hear you great.
I had a terrible time with Chrome yesterday, so just wanted to make sure. Okay, I'm going to try and share my screen here, and hopefully it comes up all right. Let's see. Okay, are you seeing some slides right now?
Yes.
Yes.
Perfect. Thanks, everybody. Before I get started, though, can I just make something about Kim Cameron very briefly? I was just really sad to hear this news, really kind of shocked about it. I wrote about him in my dissertation. I just think he was really, so much critical groundwork for what we do. And I don't know, I'm just very sad, just very shocked to hear this news. So, Kalia, thank you for sharing it. Okay, so I am here today to fill you in on what's been going on and what we've been up to at the BC Edu Task Force, and to let you know about like the hot topics and questions that we've been having in this community. I'm hoping that you'll bring your questions and feedback and any suggestions to this discussion. So I'll present what I have, and then feel free to pipe up. And Heather, I'm sure that you can let me know if you see anything in the queue, and
we'll
I should pause for it, okay? Thank you.
Do you want me to interrupt you, or do you want to take a pause and check in with the queue at your convenience?
I'll check in on it.
Great.
Okay. This contact slides, meeting information slide, is actually from the CCG 101 slide. So I borrowed it and updated it a little bit. For folks who don't know that much about us, we are working on verifiable credentials alignment with education and training and achievements credentials. And our task force page at the top, this is when we have our meetings. Oops. This is where you can find us in Jitsi. Our main repo is where issues and are submitted and managed. We have a new email list. This is a new thing that we did recently that anybody interested in this work can join. Part of our charter is to help increase understanding of verifiable credentials in education and to engage the wider education community. So we thought maybe having a separate list would help to do that. We have two work items in progress. We're working on a use cases document and a modeling document. We've been collecting use cases all fall and already started documenting and doing that analysis. And that will inform the modeling doc. And then as of yesterday, we also have two new co-chairs. So this is some pretty great news. So just introducing Dimitri Zagadoulin, who many of you already know from his work in this community and with MIT's Digital Credential Consortium. His technical expertise has already been so valued, and I'm sure it will continue to be. And then Simone Ravioli from Digitary, who has vast knowledge about the international education digital credentials landscape. And he's also the chair of the IEEE Integrated Learner Record Working Group. So this overlap will be super useful and helpful as we get closer to publishing the model recommendations. Okay. Heather, I'm going to just pause there real quick. Anything going on?
The speaker queue is empty, but I would like to say congrats to both new co-chairs. I think they are excellent choices, and I'm very excited to see them take those leadership roles.
Me too. I'm very excited about this.
And I guess I also want to say, from watching your guys' election, so I don't know if everyone in the CCG knows the situation, there were two open co-chair roles for the VCEDU group, and there were actually four people interested in it. So we had to run, or Carrie ran, an election, and it ran perfectly. We ran it with the previous agreed CCG election process. And I just want to say kudos to Carrie for running that, because it was very smooth. And also to everyone in the VCEDU community for participating. And also the other two co-chairs that ran were also very excellent. It was a very hard choice. Any of them would have been excellent choices for leadership in that community. So yes, just a lot of positive things to say.
Thanks, Heather. Absolutely. It was a great election. We are so grateful to have four great candidates. And a big shout out to Manu for providing guidance on a platform that we use called OppaVote, and it worked perfectly. So that was just excellent. Okay. So what we've been working on. So this is, we revised our charter, this year. And, just to give you a little bit of background on that. What we're trying to do is, bridge the VC ecosystem to the work that's already been done in the education and training data standards space. And our main goal is discoverability of education data standards frameworks and also informing implementers of how to use these in VCs. And just like many of the other VC types, education credentials are complex, they're nuanced, subjective, contextual, and super political. And so we're navigating very entrenched systems that at once are bucking against change, yet also intriguingly super intrigued by blockchain. but the landscape is evolving pretty quickly, and we had to make some tweaks to the scope of our task force to accommodate that. The first thing that we did was we sort of went beyond education. We said, well, we're already talking about education and occupational, so let's in our charter explain that we're going to include training and achievement credentials. And we know that education is already a broad concept, but achievements was added to cover like other experiences, like informal or formal learning, memberships, any kinds of other types of achievements. Secondly, a bigger scope change was actually a focus on the direct alignment with verifiable credentials. So previously, we were discussing alignment using an envelope and letter approach that was demonstrated by the LER wrapper effort. And the LER wrapper provided a base understanding of enabling interoperability and mapping at the content level, but it conflicted with the existing standards that already had their own verification methods. So the LER wrapper may still be a useful model for embedding education data standard formats that aren't JSON or JSON-LD, but the community agreed that standards that are in those formats already would benefit by aligning natively to VCs. So the first two standards to do this are from IMS Global, and they're the Open Badges and Comprehensive Learning Record, or the CLR standards. So Open Badges was an easy fit. It has one issuer, one achievement, and the verification object of Open Badges already included an option to digitally sign. And a little known fact that I like to say, I'm sure Manu remembers this, that members of the Open Badges community actually helped to write some of the very first use cases when verifiable credentials was actually still called verifiable claims a long, long time ago. The Open Badges have metadata that can represent any type of achievement, including degrees, certificates, course completions, job training, and even recognition for running races or traveling around the world. This is why they're called Open Badges. So they seem to be a pretty good fit because they're already JSON-LD, so they're linked data. We could do that pretty easily. The slides, which I should put a link to in the chat, I will, when I'm done here, is a link to the proposal, which is public. And anybody can read it. A new charter at IMS has started, so there's a new working group working towards this currently. And we hope to have something early next year to start piloting with. The other one, the CLR, the Comprehensive Learning Record, is more complex. It has roles such as a publisher, an issuer, and embedded VCs. And it typically represents transcripts and multiple records from K-12 and post-secondary institutions. And this has revealed a lot more challenges than Open Badges, but it's also opened up opportunities to discuss VC concepts in new ways that we haven't before. In the next few slides, I'm going to describe some of these. Before I do, I'm going to pause here, Heather. What do we have? How are we doing in the chat?
Things are looking good. No one is on the queue.
Great. Okay. So this is the list of some of the topics and the questions and the issues that we've been discussing in this community. And some of these have expanded into the main CCG group too. And anyone who's familiar with these topics can feel free to cue themselves today and elaborate on my explanations or provide any guidance. I'm sure that these discussions will be ongoing in VC Edu in the coming year too. Accessibility. So this is something that keeps coming up, and also in the broader community, which because it's very critical. We have participants in education who don't have consistent or personal access to Wi-Fi, smartphones, or even computers. And so there have been some examples on how to use paper credentials or SMS, and we need to keep thinking about that because, for equality and equity reasons in education specifically. Also, we have to keep in mind that we have government standards compliance to look at as we develop the software that's being used in this space.
Carrie, do you, Manu and I are on the queue. Do you want to take them at one time, or do you want to have us?
Yeah, let's pause here. Let's. Is there anything on accessibility now?
Okay, so Manu, you're on the queue.
Yeah, on accessibility, I had a question on the previous slide as well. So for the accessibility stuff, and, path to paper, that's a pretty big requirement for, U.S. government in the Silicon Valley Innovation Program case as well. Mm-hmm. There have been a couple of proposals on expressing verifiable credentials as QR codes, for example, being able to print it in a human readable way on a piece of paper and also include a digitally signed representation of like a subset of the credential. So one, I don't know if the group is familiar with the CBOR-LD or QR code work that's been done there. So that's the first point. The other question had more to do with credential refresh and reissuance. There, this past 2 days ago, I published a new spec to the mailing list about refreshing credentials that are going to expire. So this is like potentially like a proof of education certificate, whatever, that was issued for like a 3-year period, but for whatever reason, you should be able to get it for another 3 years by renewing. Like you've done some, training or whatever that allows you to automatically refresh that credential. Has that use case been discussed in the VC Edu community, the need to refresh or reissue automatically already issued credentials?
I can't imagine it doesn't exist in education. I can't think of one specifically, but only because I'm right now in the spot. So I saw that you posted that. I'd like to talk about that more and ask the community if it is, for sure. Certainly, we have credential status just came up, because we are ready to start talking about that. And I think there's a relationship between those two. Would you think so?
Yes.
Yeah. Great. And thank you for bringing up QR code and the work for accessibility. I'm a little bit aware of that, but at some point I would love to, maybe you can present this in VC Edu and inform our group about it. Maybe do a demo. Awesome.
Yep.
Thank you.
Great. Okay. So I'd queued myself next, kind of just as a broad meta comment. Carrie and I have talked in the past about, how VC Edu has really focused on use cases and applying this technology for the Edu use case. But in their inquiry, they have also found topics that not only are of importance to education, but potentially to the broader credentials community group or other non-educational use cases. And so one of the things that we've talked about, Carrie and I have talked about, is bringing these items to the CCG in order to have a broad discussion about what that use case could be. Both, Carrie and VC Edu Task Force will have the education perspective, but involving the rest of us from the community group to flesh out other use cases of particular technologies or situations where it would make sense to potentially collaborate. So I think this is a very exciting way of using a task force. Most of the time we've spun the task forces out of the CCG main so that they can kind of do deep dives on their own things and they kind of like splinter off or branch off. But in this case, in the exploration, the educational credentials task force is finding and discovering things that might be important to the broader community and bringing it back. And so it's that kind of back and forth conversation that I think is really interesting for the task force to splinter off and focus, and then to be able to bring back something, some new ideas or thinkings or use cases back to the credentials community group.
Awesome. Thank you, Heather. I couldn't agree more. I think even though we have a separate email list, you'll see that oftentimes we write to both because we want the input of everybody in this work and we want to report back. So thank you.
Yeah, great. Marty, you're on. You're up next and you're the last person on the queue right now.
Thank you. So I just wanted to just comment on, you know, the willingness and kind of flexibility of the VC Edu, work task force in terms of we broke out, early this year, we broke out a group called the Complex Credentials, work group and we're really able to work on the informing, the comprehensive learner record work in IMS Global. And help to align, the open badge, assertion and the, assertions within CLR to better interoperate these standards. So I think the leadership, Carrie's leadership and the VCA Edu group, cannot be understated in terms of taking this work and leveraging it other work groups. And I just wanted to recognize that.
Thank you, Marty. That's really great. I really appreciate that. Your work has been awesome in this group too. You're going to see, I'm going to bring up the complex credentials in another slide. So we're going to probably need your input there the most because you know the most about this. I think you've had the most hands-on experience with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Heather, can I move on to the next slide?
Oh yeah, of course. We're done with the queue here.
Okay. Okay. I'm mostly just bullet pointing these things, because I know these also are discussions that are happening in the wider group. But we have one issue that discusses PDFs and VCs. It describes some of the questions and the goals, like being able to embed and extract data from PDFs and other image types, or embed PDFs or artifacts learning, like test scores or video demonstrations, or even like certificates in VCs. And we've run into a lot of problems with this. An example that we're looking at right now is with open badges. We historically have always done something called baking the badge, right? Where the badge data, the metadata properties can be inside of the badge image, and then that makes it portable. And with VCs, we may not always need to do that, and that changes things for open badges and how that community thinks about badge images in this context. But also we've been running into issues where we have, you know, large PDFs, right, certificates that folks would like to include in VCs. And these are things we need to be thinking about. Later on in the list, I have some, like the hash resources that, that Dimitri has brought up to that issue that we could bring up and discuss more later. But these are things that, just topics that are coming up pretty often right now. Anybody that has any like questions or comments about that specifically, I know I'm being a little bit vague, but we haven't really dug into it too much yet in terms of VCs. And Marty, I may call on you if you're there, or Marty, I see you queue yourself up, but Marty has been trying this out too.
Carrie, Manu's on the queue.
Yep.
So there are multiple ways to accomplish the task. I think the challenge is figuring out a small set of them to actually suggest, right? Because mm-hmm. you can always take a VC and embed it in PDF metadata. You can always take a VC and convert it to a QR code and put it in a PDF file. You can always take a PDF file and binary encode or you know, text encode the whole thing and shove it into a VC. Like you can always take a VC and put it into an image. Like you can do all of these things. The question is, if you had to try, you want to reduce the amount of variability. And so the question is, how are we going to do that? Right. Cause mm-hmm. you know, all these options are on the table. We just have to provide some very clear guidance that is hopefully cross industry that helps people easily make that transition. That's the hard part, I think.
That is the hard part. It's much like much of this, there's so much extensibility, but also how do we do it the best way or the clearest way for now, right? The most interoperable way, the most common way. Thank you, Manu. I would love to talk about this more as we keep going through it. Ori, I know, has made some comments on that issue number 4 too. Is the one way that we could do this, which had to do with using image portable processes. Probably similar to how Open Badges does it now, I imagine.
Carrie, yes. Marty is on the queue.
Marty, go for it.
Well, I just wanted to comment. So in at least the Open Credential Publisher project use case, we did the Base64 encoded PDF inside the VC, which worked well for the entire object to be portable. However, the size constraints of the payloads have come up in numerous situations. So, there's definitely a really deep, this is a pretty deep topic as far as, how we can, standardize, but then also that size limitation is really challenging.
Thanks, Mary. Yeah, we'll definitely be digging into this more in the coming year. I feel a little bit badly that I'm bringing up each of these because I know that all of them have are pretty deep in many different ways, but we'll get to it. Okay. Anyone else in the queue? All right, I'm going to move on. Okay, so this one, this is based from, I started an email thread a few weeks ago, I think, about using email addresses as identifiers. And emails have been used as the primary recipient property value at Open Badges for the last decade. And in case you're wondering, you hear me talk about Open Badges a lot, so that is where most of my experience is in digital credentials and education. That's what I've been working on for probably the last decade. It's for as long as it's existed. But because the emails aren't actually identifiers, it's caused all sorts of problems with claiming and accessing badges. And so this topic, of course, comes up as we're talking about identifiers for verifiable credentials. And we had this really great thread discussion that I didn't have a chance to get back to. But what we really kind of landed on was that because emails are well understood, but DIDs aren't, and because many existing systems are going to continue to use the OIDC as we start shifting towards VCs, well, Manu had mentioned this, and I think this is a good idea too, but we'll talk about this more in the future, that a credential subject ID isn't required. Like, it may be there, but it doesn't need to be there. So it means we could include recipient values for email or other recipient information in the VC, and it could be used on its own or even with a credential subject ID. I think there's going to be a lot more discussions about this, especially as we get towards the modeling doc and make the recommendations. But I think this is where most folks are landing as we started talking about it. I know there are some other thoughts in that thread, but this seems to be the best approach so far. There's no consensus. We haven't tried to reach consensus on it yet, but this is sort of where we've been landing. One thing to note, and I'm sure all of you are running to this too, in education, we discuss bridging systems a lot. Right. It's just something we have to think about. I don't always love thinking about that. My first thought is to think like the best way to do it, but the best way to do it isn't always the best bridging to the existing systems now. So we make these compromises and I think this is actually a pretty good compromise. So this is an example of that. Okay, I'm gonna pause there because I know that was a pretty heated thread. Any comments or questions in the queue?
No one's on the queue right now, Carrie.
All right. The next. Okay, this is what Marty was referencing earlier. So there, because of the discussions that we had with on the complex credentials and the European providers, we've run into a lot of situations where we have questions about embedding VCs and how those can be used and how those are being accepted by wallets. In the CLR, there's this concept of a publisher. This publisher, like a VC that may contain VCs that are signed by different issuers. The embedded VCs could also potentially have different credential subject IDs or even no IDs. And this has stirred up also questions about verifiable presentations, and the applicability and the need for VCs or with embedded VCs or VPs with multiple VCs. And even up until recently, many of us thought that VPs were only created by learners and that they were always signed. And now we started learning otherwise. So there's a lot of different ways to look at this, what we've learned, and a lot of opinions on it. And as with the file images and such, we sort of need to come up with the best recommendations, especially because that in the more formal education situations, they need a lot more rails for that interoperability. So it's going to be very helpful to talk about this more and discuss it more. Any questions in the queue? I have two more slides like this.
Manu's on the queue.
Hey, Manu.
Not necessarily a question. I'm thinking a verifiable presentation is probably not the right solution there. VPs are meant to be fairly ephemeral. But just throwing that data point in there, clearly would need to know way more to provide any stronger guidance.
Yeah, well, just like one of the use cases we've encountered is that a publisher, like a school registrar at an institution, may want to provide a student with a transcript, but also separate credentials that may be inside of that transcript at the same time. And there's situations like that that we need to walk through, I think, some more and make sure that we have some guidance there as the CLR group at IMS starts making some progress. I think the role of the registrar is something that's unique, something different than we haven't had to consider in open badges. Marty, any chance you're in the queue and would like to say something about this? Sorry to call on you directly. But I think you understand these use cases the most.
Marty's not on the queue, but feel free to jump in if you want. Juan's on the queue, but let's go ahead and skip to Marty so that we can keep the flow of this conversation.
Yeah.
Yes. So I think there's a lot of really interesting use cases here. And, you know, we've got use cases across K-12. We've got use cases across licensure systems. And Manu, I would agree 100% that VPs are not the solution here. But we're also, what's exciting about this is that we're also tying this together with the single assertion credential work, such that the interoperability still exists between the two. So large set of use cases around licensure and the K-12 space.
Thanks, Bray.
Thanks. Juan, you're next up on the queue.
Oh, no, sorry. I was actually just wondering about Manu's comment, because I was thinking that perhaps the Solomonic solution is that if you are presenting a big bundle of VCs all as one whole to some sort of notary or registrar, the better long archival solution or more portable solution would be for that event to be commemorated by a VC that references the others, rather than just, you know, keeping the VP as a freezing it and, you know, using it as a VC, rather turning around and using some different semantic to say, this is the summary VC of everything that was presented to me at this time. And these are, you know, references, hash links, whatever, to the other contents of that presentation. Makes more sense to me. But maybe that's, I don't know. Maybe that's what everyone already meant. Sorry. If so. Thanks.
Well, and there are some comments back to you on in the chat.
I think this is interesting. It was this topic actually that triggered me asking Heather if we could present on this call, but then I realized that we actually were due to make an update overall anyway. I wouldn't mind if in the new year, if we could look at this topic together in this group and talk about it more. I'd be happy to gather all the questions that I can from Edu and bring them to it. We could talk about it more and see if we could come up with some understanding that might be missing that we could use hand with.
Carrie, you've led us support, well, from myself and Manu to do this. So
great.
yeah, work with the chairs. We'll get you on the schedule for January, whenever it makes sense.
Thank you. Okay, and these last two slides, looking at the time, last two slides are actually newer topics, but I'm just going to present them so you know they're going on because I think they're pretty interesting. This one right here, I don't know if Dimitri is on the call, but he introduced this proposal, actually not to VC Edu, but to the main model repo on anchored resources and hash links for VCs. And this has triggered a lot of thinking in education. So I would say that we have use cases for credential relationships for sure, like endorsements. For example, right now, the single source of endorsement credentials are being discussed in coordination with the T3 LER network. So that is one type of credential relationship that may be able to lean on this functionality. But also we have use cases like recommendations and pathways of learning that could possibly like work with this. And also back to sort of embedding files or linking to resources, we have use cases where evidence or learning artifacts could also be included in VCs in this way in education. So I'm really excited about this proposal, and there's a lot of great discussion going on in there. So I suggest if you are in a little bit curious, go and check that out. Then lastly, as I mentioned to Manu, is that we just started discussing credential status. And so far, like some of the use cases or uses that came up is indicating a credential has been revoked, which is I think the most common one. But also we've been discussing any changes that could be made to the achievement description. And this is keeping in mind that historically in open badges, the description of the achievement has been in its own file. And some badge issuing platforms have allowed changes. And so there's been discussion about, well, how do you inform verifiers and the learners that there were changes to something that was intended to be tamper evident, right? So what were those changes if there were any? So this discussion just started, and we're sort of leaning on the existing recommendations right now and part of the discussion. But you know, welcome to bring everybody into that. And it probably also ties very closely to what Manu said earlier about the refreshing. And that's what I have. That's all for today.
Thanks, Carrie. Manu, you're on the queue.
Just yeah, it's a great credential status. Please follow the credential status 2021 spec. We're trying to deprecate the old revocation thing. We've made advances in credential status, and the 2021 stuff is what everyone should be paying attention to. Also really interested in hearing about the use case where you need to tell someone that certain updates have been made. That's an interesting new angle on credential status. That's it.
Thanks, Pana. Yeah, we'll definitely look at the 2021 one. I didn't even know about that. I just learned about it recently. So I'm glad to know about that. Yeah, the updating one is interesting because there could be minor changes made to a description. It could just be a description change, but also there could be other changes like credentials often could have alignment to our rich skill descriptors. And it could be that somebody could add another one, and maybe like that isn't relative to when it was issued, or maybe it will be. And there's really no way to know that. So we've been discussing, well, what if we just made sure that everybody knew that this was added, and then decisions could be made based on that. But that discussion is really very early. But we're looking to it.
Manu's back on the queue.
On that point, Carrie, one of the things that we're trying to do with both the credential status 2021 stuff and the credential refresh or reissue 2021 stuff is make the simplest kind of process as we can to apply to the broadest number of use cases. So that use case that you just outlined, like how do we communicate that one or two things changed in a credential? I think what we're trying to do is say, you know what? Don't do that. Like don't try and convey the small changes. Just revoke their credential, or tell them that their credential is going to be revoked in a matter of, you know, weeks or months, and then give them a mechanism to automatically pull in the new changes. So it's a, you know, so the general approach is revoke and then automatic refresh. So the individual doesn't even have to know that they've got new things. The new things are automatically pulled into their system, as long as they've consented to kind of like automatic updates and things like that.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, the last part is pretty critical because it could be that the update may not be wanted right, by the learner at all. Okay. Thank you.
Great, Carrie. I don't see anyone else in the queue. Thank you for the great update, and I think we have some good direction for next year. I thought we have just a few minutes left. If your new co-chairs, I don't know if they want to. I don't want to put them on the spot, but I also thought maybe they might want to say a few words or introduce themselves or say some words to the broader community. That might give them the opportunity for that.
That would be great. Dimitri, Simone, would you like to do that?
I see Simone on the queue.
Hello, everyone. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, yep, we can hear you. Great.
Great. All right. Well, it's an honor to support Carrie and the work in BC Edu. It comes naturally, given the passion that I personally have had around growing the ecosystem. I come from an experience mostly in the higher education space. I've been worked for, you know, credentialing providers for the majority of my professional lives. Digitree was a global player that has been acquired by Parchment just this summer. So, I mean, I take it upon myself as a personal mission to make sure that I can steer Parchment as an organization to take on the great work that we're doing here across different standard development organizations. I look forward to maintain tight contacts with this particular group as the mother group. As Carrie said, there are many issues that we, the Mason face, that would certainly benefit from being addressed by the wider group. And I'm very excited to work next slide to Dimitri as well and Carrie. So thanks a lot, and I'll see you around.
Great. Thanks, Simone. I'm very excited to see you in such a leadership position with the community. Dimitri, congrats to you as well. Would you like to say a few words? You're also on the queue.
Thank you. Yeah, I know we've only got a couple of minutes left, so I'll be quick. Thrilled to be part of the leadership of the Educational Task Force. A lot of you know me from my continuing work with Digital Bazaar, various specs, verifiable credential, VC API, decentralized identifier, and all the other stuff. And recently, I've been more and more coming into contact with educational space use cases as part of my other work with the Digital Credential Consortium and leading the open source educational wallet project. So I'm looking forward to keep helping Carrie and the other excellent co-chairs. That's it.
Awesome. I'm really excited to see what you guys put together in the coming year. I think you have a great team. And thank you to Charles for scribing today. And with that, we'll conclude today's meeting. And we'll see you next week with our final call of the year. Mike Prorok will moderate it, and it'll be a pretty interesting call. So I hope that you'll join us. And otherwise, happy holidays, either past or present, whatever you're celebrating.
Thanks, Heather. Thanks, everyone. Really appreciate being here.
Thanks, Carrie.